Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, may great grace be upon us today, Lord, and may the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, be upon us. May our hearts, our ears' hearts be open to hear the message today that you have for us. Lord, you're faithful even though we abide and not faithful. So just have your way today, and it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As the Lord spoke to my heart about this, probably once before I touched lightly on this text, but not in the capacity that he's given this to me, I had several people throughout the week ask me questions why the Lord was allowing me to go through this. And I said, well, we'll know by the time Brother Wilson, my precious father, he said, well, what are we going to hear that you've been going through? I said, well, we'll see by if the Lord tarries next Sunday. And as the Lord worked this in my heart throughout this week, the message, I kept getting weaker and weaker. And I said, that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us to come up into a pulpit in our own strength. And if you're going to be in a pulpit, you better be in the Lord's strength. And many times I used to listen to Brother Hill. He would go on a vacation or he would have something in his life. And we would hear it and see it come into a sermon that following week. And they were sermons that were life-changing. And I would hope today that this message, and it's only his grace. I told my wife when we were standing in the kitchen, I said, honey, I don't think I've ever felt so bad in my life physically. And to have to get up here, but I do this because I love Jesus, first of all, and I love you. So praise the Lord. The title of my message today would be called, if I were to put a title on it, called Not So. And some of you Bible thumpers might know where I'm going to if you'd go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And this is such a precious portion of Scripture, and it's very misunderstood today. Believe me, most preachers don't know anything about this. If you haven't been in a grace meeting before that teaches the different ranks, Brother Hill had told me one time there was approximately 8 to 9 different ranks that we would see. And Brother Hill mostly taught us on the Bride of Christ because the other ranks, there's only one other rank we can be at in this time, and we don't want to be a part of that rank, the innumerable multitude. But in the 25th chapter, verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, and verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so many preachers that I've heard preach on this today, see, they'll say at that end, we'll see that you can lose your salvation. You were there and you were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and when by the time you got there, he shut the door and the door of salvation was closed. But we know that's not true. And verse 9, I would hope before the end of this service would be our cry, not so. This is a parable we can learn so much from the Holy Spirit in our walks and lives. Our attitude in this is most important and really reflects where our heart is. Now, the parable takes place in the middle of the week, and I just want to share for those that have not been here before, this is not talking about what we preach all the time. We are already in heaven when this takes place, but it is in the middle of the week. It's a wonderful time. This is the last group to arrive in heaven before the wedding takes place. The souls under the altar are the last group to arrive in heaven, period. But this is a wonderful thing. And we can learn so much. We have to realize that everything that happened to Israel and the things in the Old Testament happened for admonition. And we can learn so much from watching. And by God's grace, we'll be watching this from heaven. And this will be a wonderful thing. But we can learn something. And we know that the virgins speak of separation from the world, mostly religious, and it's a chastity and purity. So these were virgins. Now that proves right there that every one of these virgins were saved, all 10 of them. And 10 is the number of responsibility according to ability. Now we know that God never calls a sinner a virgin. See, that's just the way it is. These virgins were all saved. They loved the Lord dearly. But in verse 3, we see that they had lamps. That's another proof positive that they were Christians. The word of God was what the lamps speak of. They were going out. Their testimony was not aggressive. They were passive as regards to truth for witnessing. Now, at midnight, that's what I want to speak mostly about today, if the Lord tarries and he gives me time, is talking about midnight. What happened at midnight? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. This is happens right, the Philippian saints, the Philadelphia overcomers, are caught away before this takes place. In verse 8, if we really have dove's eyes, we'll see the answer for verse 9. Not so. See, we have to be saints of this character right now, that we have to be jealous and passive towards Jesus. I see so many saints here just in the last couple of years that have left our meeting, and I'll send them cards or somebody will tell them, well, they're not coming to the church anymore. And I'll say, well, why not? And they'll say, well, we're praying about what church we should go to. And I thought to myself, well, what church brought the grace message? Where was the truth taught to your life the first time you came? Well, Living Waters. And not that we're any better than anybody else, but this is the place that God brought a stocky little man years ago to bring us the grace message. And we're thankful for that. But so we just see that so many people today aren't yielding to the Holy Spirit. They have no idea what's going on. If we really have dove's eyes, like I said, a stand was made. Compromise is the name of the game, Christians. It's the game Christians play today. It is one of the most deadly influences for the child of God, and compromise always starts in the heart. Now, we know where the first sin was. Everybody says, well, it was with Adam and Eve. Well, I have to believe it was in Lucifer's heart when he wanted to be above God. And we know that that's such a sad thing. But how many people are compromising today? They're making wrong choices. A choice was made that they would not give in, and it would determine the outcome of these two ranks. We are exhorted to come and to the waters and buy, the word of God says. Though it is without money and without price, that's Isaiah 55:1. This refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is free. It's a free gift. But you have to be thirsty for it. And you know something I thought about all the years of all the people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit in our meeting. And people asked me just this last year, there was real close to 100 men filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, women, I'm working on you, but I don't get to see the women very often in the prison. But there was real close to 100 men filled this last year. And I thought to myself, my wife said that before. She asked, well, what happens? Well, you know, it's a sad thing because people don't yield to the Spirit. I'm thankful for everybody that's ever been filled with the Holy Spirit. But if they were yielding to the Lord's guidance and direction through the power of the Holy Spirit, this place would be so full we couldn't get them all in here. And I'm just telling you that right now. These believers during this time not only need to be filled with the Spirit, but be led of the Spirit. And that's what we need to be right now. We can learn so much from this parable. And we know that the Bible says that the bride is making her calling and her election right now, sure right now. She does not sleep as do others. And 1 Thessalonians teaches that we cannot afford to be asleep right now, precious saints. Now, sleep is something I learned this week is very fleeting. And I'm not a good sleeper anyway, but I didn't sleep much this week. And it's amazing how loud a clock on a wall in a bathroom can be. I was laying there listening to it, and I was listening to my wife and my dog, and I was enjoying hearing the dog snore and everybody making noise in the room and stuff. But as I was looking up at the ceiling talking to the Lord was speaking to my heart. It's almost over with. It's almost over with. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. And all the dealings that God has got for our lives, we just want to thank and rejoice the Lord Jesus Christ. That word admonition means to warn gently and to reprove. Well, I remember Brother Hill said that if you go down a street and you see a house on fire, you don't go up to the door and go, is there somebody in there? You go up and kick the door down. Now, I heard this week, Jamie Foxx, bless his heart, I don't know if he loves Jesus, rescued a couple people out in front of his house where he lives at. And I'm thankful, even though the person was drunk and he was on drugs, God is still working. So we don't know. Maybe Jamie Foxx is a believer. And who knows, maybe that drunk will be talking to him about the Lord. But that's what we need to be right now, is on fire for the coming of the Lord. But we need to be led of the Spirit, precious hearts. And being led of the Spirit is through the Word of God. The five foolish, it's too late for them. Not to go to heaven, but for the wedding celebration. That's amazing that people talk about the wedding banquet. I always like to joke and say, well, thank God when we go to heaven and we have our feast, we won't have to count calories. Jenny Craig won't be in heaven. Thank God for that. I'll be able to sit there and put my feet up on that banqueting table and not even ask if it's sugar-free for the diabetics, but just to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. In a way, they couldn't be at this wedding celebration. The door was shut in the banqueting chamber. They failed for lack of watching. Did not discern the times, precious hearts. And this group right here we know they are the meek that inherit the earth. We know that no doubt they're Jewish. And the only way to have victory at midnight condition is to be filled and to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the midnight condition is upon us, precious hearts. This five wise virgins, they have three names. Most people don't know. They're called the 144,000, or the man-child, or the five wise virgins. And they are sealed, the Word of God teaches us, in the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. In verse 5, we see they all slumbered and slept. And I got kind of giggled like a little kid when I was looking this up and studied what that word slumbered meant, and slept. Thank God for the awakening ointment of the Holy Spirit. The word slumbered in the Strong's, and I like how Ty gives us the numbers, number 3573. And it means to nod. Do you have spiritual nods, precious hearts? And you know, it's amazing. Only the Holy Spirit can give us dove's eyes to not have spiritual nods. You'd be surprised sometimes when you're in the pulpit up here, you see people getting the nods. It's amazing. And it doesn't do the guy in the pulpit any good either. We want you to be on fire for Jesus. But how many of people in the church today have the spiritual nods? They're asleep, precious hearts. God does not want us to be asleep right now. We see these group of believers, even the five wise were sleeping when the bridegroom came. But thank God, and we know that wasn't for them to be married to him, but just we know that these 144,000, the man-child, the five wise virgins, they have a place in our wedding. So we need to pray for them. You know, and I've done over 100 weddings in my life. It's an amazing. I did a wedding one time where the man that was I was marrying was an hour late for his own wedding. And it was in this church. And everybody was waiting for the guy to come. So I was standing down here doing Rodney Dangerfield jokes, trying to get everybody to loosen up. And people were laughing and having a good time. But I thought to myself, man, you know, I didn't think that marriage was going to last. And it didn't. But we need to pray for even the ones that are going to be the guests at our heavenly wedding. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. The Lord is faithful. He just wants us to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The flesh, the world, and the devil wants your crown. Probably about 8 years ago, Brother Hawkins preached a sermon in Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And I remember that message stuck with me for years. And I looked up the word crown means rewards, for our rewards. And the Lord said he's coming soon. And I got another translation. Hold fast to what you have, so that no man may rob you of your crown. We will have to say, not so through our walk. Now, throughout the week, the enemy kept whispering into my ear, oh, you're going to have to compromise. God's showing you he doesn't love you. And every time he'd say that, I'd say, that's not so. That's not so. How bad you feel, how little sleep you have. And I was thinking, Lord, what are you showing me through this? You know what the Lord spoke to me through the power of the Holy Spirit? I don't want to show you anything. I want you to take a step in faith and take my hand. And go and do what I want you to do. You don't need to know why you're bleeding like you are. You don't need to know why this thing's happening in your life. Just know that I love you with an everlasting love. And I will take care of you. And I quoted every scripture I could think of. Someone says, well, aren't you casting your burden upon the Lord? Well, I thought I was. Gush, gush. Praise the Lord. But you know something? God looks at our hearts. And I remember some of the midnight burdens that I saw. Brother Hawkins for 7 years when his dear wife was suffering because of her teeth. They weren't quite sure what was wrong with it, but I guess the fillings in her teeth were bad, and it was causing her anguish and pain. And I saw Brother Hawkins suffer like I've never seen a man suffer in years. His message, I'll tell you, his grace message grew by leaps and bounds because of his love. And if you know Brother Hawkins, how much he loves his wife, his little girl is what he calls her. But she was in such pain, and I saw him get in a pulpit and weep and cry because that burden was there, but he didn't compromise by God's grace. We see with David and Saul, as Saul tried to offer him his armor, and David said, basically, not so. I have not proved these. But how many people, saints in this meeting over the years, have not said that anymore? When the enemy comes to rob, and the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when the enemy this week and the flesh and the devil, our three enemies, were trying to tell us, oh, you can't do it, I said, I know I can, but he can. Not so. I want to take a stand for the truth. But the night season, we heard in Bible class a few years ago about the night season, the different watches. The midnight hour, what a time that is. And we're upon it right now. I remember watching Brother Hill when he lost his skin 9 times. And I went to see him, and I was not walking with the Lord that time. I was out in the world doing drugs and drinking, and I went in there, and I started crying when I saw what he looked like. You couldn't even have been able to tell it was Brother Hill. And he said, honey, you could have been one of the great saints under my ministry. What are you doing? I said, I was heartbroken. I couldn't even talk to him. And the Lord used that to change my life. But a night season that I saw Brother Hill go through. And what a great message that came out of that man's life after that night season. Sometimes people have one or two. Sometimes people are out of one and they're into another night season. And how we live the night season is a good indication how our midnight hour will be, precious hearts. Stages of the night. The midnight hour. This is the most important time of our life right now. The Lord smote the firstborn at midnight in the land of Egypt at midnight. The master's return was at midnight. The importunate friend was at midnight. Ruth laid her head at Boaz's feet, and Boaz noticed her at midnight. Now, it's not real clear. Maybe she got there at 10:30, 10:45, but at midnight, he noticed her. Now, I got news from you. If Julie put her head at my feet at midnight, we'd be in trouble. It would wake me up real fast. The young man fell at midnight and broke his neck. Eutychus is his name in the book of Acts. And we're at that time right now, precious hearts, that people are asleep to Paul's message. But there's victory at midnight for you. I want to tell you that right now. At midnight, Paul and some of the psalmists wrote different things, but I want to read just a couple of them. At midnight, I will give thee thanks. That's a Hebrew poem. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 6:6, David watered his couch with his tears in the night. And this week, something happened to me that hasn't happened in years. I wasn't able to cry. On a Tuesday when I was at work, I said, Lord, I want to water my couch with the tears that you give me for this battle that I'm in, this midnight hour. There was no tears to be had. I said, Jesus, I want to be able to weep for you. And 2 days later, he let my heart break again, and I was able to weep for over an hour for him. Thank God for that. But in Hebrews, the 11th chapter shows us the 20 great worthies of faith. And I believe there's probably more, but there's only 20 mentioned there. We know the word 20 means redemption. We can learn from their victories and from their defeats. They were all put in circumstances, these Old Testament worthies of faith. Were they able to utter, not so? Some compromised. We see their stories. But that's how we learn, precious hearts, is through other people's failures, through our own failures. Because Jesus works all things after the counsel of his own will. Brother Hill always said they did what they could. All the victories came through faith and by faith, not compromise. We can't look at the way we were by our faults, but through the eyes of love in Christ. I was thinking about some of the Old Testament ones that were mentioned here. We always make fun of Rahab, but she did what she could. She let those men down by a silver cord. It was actually a wire kind of a thing, and it had a silver cord on it intertwined with scarlet. Her family was spared from the doom of her city. It may not seem like a lot, but it brought eternal weight and glory, precious hearts. Samson was one we always mock at whenever you hear the name Samson. I hear people say, well, you mean Samson went to heaven? Well, he was found here in the Old Testament worthy of faith. And he had to learn to say, not so. And I'll read from Judges 16:1. You don't have to go there, but I'll read. I want to read what had happened with him. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and he went unto her. Now, this harlot was a type and shadow of Jezebel. And Gaza meant strong city or religious organization. And we think today how many people are going to churches that are harlots. They don't teach the grace of God. They don't teach who Jesus is to our lives. And in verse 16:2, this is what the enemy wants to do for each and every one of you here. And it was told of the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, and they laid wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And where they were quiet all night long, saying in the morning, when it is day, we will kill this man. But God had other plans for him. Even though he failed miserably, and he did, we learned from him. But we thank God we'll see him in heaven one day. He will be right in front of us. His crown will be at our feet that he wore on his head. And I like verse 16:3. And Samson laid till midnight. And he rose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts. And he went away with them, bar and all. And he put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And Hebron means communion and fellowship. There was complete victory. See, Dean builds doors. Now that shows right there, he took everything. He left nothing behind. When God gives you victory, precious hearts, it's complete. I got asked three times this last week, well, if God delivered you from something and you go back, did you really have deliverance in the first place? I don't believe God makes mistakes, precious hearts. When God gives victory and deliverance, it's complete. Now, if we don't take the victory, that's on us. See, we need to realize that God does not make mistakes. He's a God of love, but we can have complete victory as Samson did here. And the love of God in Romans, the 5th chapter, it says, trials and tribulations work with patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if there's anything that we can have in our lives, precious hearts, we want the love of God. Every morning before I get up, or today when I go to see these men, there'll be some unlovely people coming out this afternoon for the services. I went to the dentist the other day, and I had the girl laughing so hard when she was cleaning my teeth. I said, you ought to go to prison sometime and smell their breath and see what their teeth look like. I said, man, it's gross, but you know, those are the guys that bend their heads over right in front of me and say the Lord, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that cry, and they said, you get to hear this message all the time, Brother Kevin? I said, yes, we do. We want to be there with you one day. Well, if Jesus tarries, you can. But we can only, as we rejoice in the glory of God, can we glory in tribulations also. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be led of the Holy Spirit, precious hearts, because we want the love of God. That's what changes people's life, is the love of God. Each step is blossoming further and deeper into the love of God as we surrender unto the Holy Spirit. That's what I learned this week more than anything, how weak I am and how I need the strength of the Lord and how I need the power of the Holy Spirit more and more each day. I want to be like Christ, but Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul and Silas, they enjoyed this miracle in Acts chapter 16. Paul showed us so much through the Word of God. But Connie Bear, Brother Ty likes to quote from him. He was quoting about this. He said, we exalt also in our infirmities, for we know not that by sufferings wrought steadfastness, and steadfastness is the proof of soundness, and the proof gives rise to hope, and our hope cannot shame us to the day of trial, because the love of God is shed forth in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Connie Bear saw much. We are enabled to triumph over our shame and our sufferings. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are we afraid to yield to the Holy Spirit, precious hearts? He gives us boldness, power, faith, joy, and love. Ty did a study here recently on the names of the Holy Spirit. They're magnificent. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was conceived by the Spirit. He was driven by the Spirit. He journeyed in the power of the Spirit. The attributes of the Spirit are the same as the Father's. The Holy Spirit is a reprover. He's a convictor of sin. If there's someone here today, you cannot get saved anytime you want to. I want you to know this, that it takes the convicting power of the Holy Spirit for your life and your heart to be open to Jesus Christ. He guides us into all truth. Why doesn't everybody know truth today? Now, I'm not going to rain on somebody's parade, but I know a lot of you listen to a lot of different ministers on the radio and listen to the ones and watch them on TV and stuff. But where do you ever hear them talk about the bride is not the whole church, but a rib company that comes out of the church? You never hear that. And why aren't they led of the Holy Spirit? Oh, they want that Holy Spirit when they charge money to come and lay empty hands on empty heads. And there's no healing. I've seen some people, and I went to one of those healing seminars one time, and I saw what a fake thing it was. Didn't see anybody healed. But when somebody calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And we can have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Precious hearts, the emblems of the Spirit are magnificent too. The Holy Spirit is the agent of all God's dealings. So if you're here today, I don't want to keep you too long, but if you're here today and you've never received the Holy Spirit, why wait? It's time to be filled. If you read this 25th chapter, what we just read, those five wise are up there, right? Before too long, we know that they'll be up there. And they're going to be at our wedding banquet, but they're not offered what we're being offered today. But I promise you that if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be in the bride of Christ. And I've been put down by grace ministers even for saying that. They say, well, there's no love in that statement. Well, that's just the facts. It's the Word of God. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. And after you get filled, you need to yield to Him. Amen. Precious heart, you need to yield to the Holy Spirit. And He will do magnificent works in your heart and in your life. And I don't know why we wait and we put it off year after year. Well, I'm waiting to camp. Well, if the Lord tarries, we have a convention coming up. There'll be people coming out, and I know some of the people that are coming out have never been filled. What a joy that would be to be able to go back and tell their meetings that they received the Holy Spirit. Now, someone will say, well, you'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Acts 1:8, you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be a witness. But if you want to be a witness, and it's found 50 times, and it means martyr, if you want to be that for the Lord, you need the Holy Spirit. But we're in the midnight hour, precious hearts. Go through and look through the Word of God who has had a midnight hour. I believe our Pastor Jesse's in one right now with his family members. I believe his sons. I don't even want to know which son it is, because I'm praying for both of them. Praying for that dog he's got. I know how much he likes Belle, bless his heart. I even had to get on him and be a little concerned. I said, you let your dog out with the coyotes? I wouldn't do that. My little dog would be a tasty morsel for a coyote. So whenever I hear him barking in the middle of the night, I go out and look for him. Because I love my pup. But I love Jesus. And He's coming soon, precious hearts. And if you're in a midnight hour right now, are you able to say not so when the devil tries to lie to you? He's the father of all lies. There's no truth in him at all. So is Living Waters a place that we need to pray about if we should go here? Or is it a place we know where the grace message is taught? If you look at yourself as you're sitting there, look in the mirror sometimes. I always look in the mirror and I say, Lord, a grace church is the only place I could have ever been accepted at and welcomed and been greeted at and loved. When I left here, somebody put their arm around me and they said, we love you. And I knew it for the first time somebody loved me. So tonight, well, I should say today, it's not night yet, but we are in a night season. And I believe our midnight season's right now, precious hearts. Many are asleep. Many are drunken. And I'm not talking about just on alcohol, of religious things. But here we are, wide awake, looking for the coming of the Lord. So let's make a purpose in our heart this year and the new year as it's here, not to compromise and say, not so. I'm not giving my oil to anybody else. What would have happened had they given their oil away? You know, and a lot of people would say, well, you're not very loving. You're not showing much grace. But what is mine, the Lord purchased it. There's a crown in heaven that I want to wear. And I'm not going to cast it at his feet. The wife never does. She wears it all the time. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this message today, Lord. And Lord, it just goes to show, Lord, that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's midnight for us. And Lord, we want to go home soon. We're loving your appearing. We're looking for you. We're hearing the hastening of the day. And we know that you're coming soon, Jesus. So Lord, may, if there's one in here that's never received the Holy Spirit, may they say today is the day. And Lord, a lot of things are going on in Denver. The stock show is closing today. The Broncos are playing. There's all things going on. But the most important thing is, what will you do with Christ? So Lord, today, what will we do with Christ? Will we surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him take us from glory to glory, even to his very likeness? Or Lord, will we compromise and give that away to another? And Lord, we know those five foolish virgins wouldn't even be able to realize what was given to them. But they did go and buy, and it was too late. How many people, if you should tarry, Lord, will come here one day and bang on the doors and say, is there anybody in that church anymore? Lord, we pray that this meeting would be vacant when the trumpet sounds. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just love you today. And we look to you in this midnight hour that we can rejoice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.